Polar bears are predicted to go the way of the sea ice this century, that is, to vanish. The population in Alaska is decreasing, but in the town of Kaktovik, on the North Slope, they're seeing an increase in bears coming on shore. Jennifer Pemberton of Alaska's Energy Desk was recently in Kaktovik, and she's working on a story about how people there are sharing their village with the bears. Jennifer's with me in the studio to talk about that. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, Matt.
First of all, I want to know, did you see any polar bears where you were there?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. No, I did not see any bears. There are some reasons for that. I did not have my hopes set too high on seeing a bear. They can see bears in Kaktovik year-round, but what's going on right now is that the sea is still frozen there. So the bears can come and go from the sea ice to land, and then they can leave. In a couple of weeks, the sea ice is going to melt, and then they're not going to be able to go back and forth. The swim will get too far, and so some of them will congregate in Kaktovik. And so you're basically like guaranteed to see a polar bear from about August till mid-November. Right now, it's kind of a gamble.
For those who may not know, Kaktovik is on the North Slope, and it's kind of like smack dab right on the northern edge of Anwar up there, kind of southeast, about 300 miles or so of Utqiagvik.
Yeah, it's closer to Canada than any other sort of population on the North Slope towards that. And yeah, it's surrounded by Anwar, basically all the land around it.
So what makes that particular location a great place to see bears?
They are attracted to whale bones. So the village of Kaktovik has the subsistence right to take 3 bowhead whales every year. And so that happens in the fall. That happens in about September. And so that coincides with a little bit of a tourism boom in Kaktovik. So they actually, yeah, I saw your face. The numbers will actually be really surprising. It's the best place in Alaska to see polar bears, possibly in the United States. In Canada, there are some places where you can more consistently see polar bears. There have been like 80 bears at one time there.
Tourism boom, though. Who are these people? Who would go to see bears there?
A lot of people just come from Alaska who know about it. It's kind of a niche tourism industry. It's small for tourism. I mean, you know, I'm looking out the window at a cruise ship that has 3,000 passengers on it here in Juneau. But there are up to like 2,000 people a year going to Kaktovik to see polar bears.
That's like 10 times the population there.
Yeah.
Close to.
Yeah, exactly. There's about 300 people there. So it's a significant number of people. They come mostly from Fairbanks. It's sort of the hub. They come from all over the world. They can. They have international travelers from everywhere. But the trips start in Fairbanks. And a lot of times they just do day trips. And they just pop up to Fairbanks for a couple hours and then go out on a boat and see the polar bears from a safe distance there.
So are there specific guide or outfitter or operations there that cater to these tourists that come into town?
Yeah, there are. Because they're surrounded basically by the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, the program is sort of managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And so they actually issue kind of like a license. They have to get a Coast Guard license and some other sort of official guide permits. But there are like 5 or 6 guides who are sort of unofficially licensed to do this.
Why do people go there to see the bears? What's the attraction?
You get to really see them in their natural habitat, acting very, very naturally. Because U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service manages this program, they do it to protect the bears. The bears are listed under the Endangered Species Act here in the U.S., so they're threatened. There are rules that go into effect, federal regulations, that you can't get within, I think it's 30 feet of the bears. You can't do anything that alters the behavior of the bears. So if the bears look at you, if they hear you coming, if they, you know, perk up, if they stand up especially, if they are acknowledging you in any way, you're too close. So the program is sort of managed to keep people at a safe distance. And so the experience of it is very natural versus like, there are places in Manitoba in Canada where you can go out in what they call a tundra buggy, which is like this big all-terrain vehicle. It's like a big Arctic bus, and you can get really close to bears. But they're bears that are kind of habituated to people, and the big deal in Kaktovik is that the bears don't even know you're there. They're just doing their thing.
We've heard a lot over the last several years about how climate change is affecting the sea ice cover and thus affecting the habitat for polar bears and their ability to live and feed off of the sea ice. How bad or how dire is the situation for polar bears?
Well, the hard thing is that people don't really know. So when they were listed in 2008 on the endangered species list, not because their populations were really declining, but because there was this recognition that, like, sea ice has been declining every year since 1979. And so they knew that the ice was going to go away, and polar bears, they're marine mammals, you know, like seals or whales, which is crazy to think about. They spend their life at sea in the water, which mostly means on the ice because it's frozen. They're hunting seals is their primary food source. And scientists don't really know what is going to happen to the bears with this decrease in sea ice. Alaska has two populations of polar bears. The Beaufort Sea population is one of the best studied in the world. These are the bears that you would see near Kaktovik. And their numbers are declining. And then there's a much bigger population in the Chukchi Sea that researchers don't really know very much about at all. I mean, they're trying to sort of keep tabs on them, but they don't know what's happening. There's some hope that polar bears are going to be able to adapt to being more on land. They're coming to land earlier in the season, and they're staying for longer periods of time, at least in Kaktovik or around there. So they could adapt, but the fear is that they're not going to adapt fast enough. I mean, it's going to take multiple generations for them to figure out new food sources and things like that. So unfortunately, there's not a very straightforward answer to that question, which is, I think, a very pressing one for a lot of people who are worried about bears and for researchers themselves, but they just don't really know quite what's going to happen.
And when can we hear about your trip to Kaktovik?
The story that I'm producing about my trip to Kaktovik and the polar bears is for a new podcast that's coming out this summer. It's actually season two of the Midnight Oil podcast, which is the podcast that Alaska's Energy Desk produced last summer. That was about Alaska's history with oil and the pipeline. And season two is sort of, we're calling it kind of the consequences of that. And so we're going to focus on climate change and what the future holds for Alaska. There are several episodes of that. This is one of them. And it launches on August 9th. And there will be one episode released every week.
Jennifer Pemberton is the editor for Alaska's Energy Desk. She's based here in Juneau. Thanks a lot for telling us about your trip.
Yeah, thank you.